The time has come to experience terror at Collinwood. I am your hostess, Penny Dreadful, a.k.a. Danielle, and I'm looking forward to my discussion with Vikram Mather about the cross-cultural and cross-generational impact of Dark Shadows. But before we get to the show, I have an update on the Dark Shadows Remembrance Weekend. Unfortunately, the Marriott Burbank Airport Hotel has reached its limit on discounted rooms for the DS Remembrance Weekend, although there are some rooms available at the standard hotel rate. The nearby option is Ramada by Wyndham Burbank Airport. You can call 1-800-922-5548 for more information. Ramada offers free breakfast, free parking for guests, and a free shuttle to and from the Burbank Airport. Attendees can walk across the street Hollywood Way from the Burbank Airport to the Marriott. This is, of course, happening on July 5th and 6th. July 5th is a celebration of life for Lara Parker, and July 6th is the Jonathan Frid centenary. Lots of great stuff happening. This is one of those things where if you can make it, go, because who knows if there's anything like this will ever happen again. That said, the 60th anniversary of Dark Shadows is coming up in 2 years. So, I mean, I would hope something happens for the 60th anniversary. If nothing is planned for the 60th anniversary, then I think, guys, we gotta do something about that. We gotta make that happen. Anyway, also, the Rondo Hatton Classic Horror Awards voting is about to end. Voting ends on Tuesday, April 16th at midnight. And Terror at Collinwood is nominated for Best Podcast. If you want to vote for Terror at Collinwood, I would certainly appreciate it, but certainly don't feel obligated. There are so many other great podcasts listed there. Other Dark Shadows themed things that are nominated: Dark Shadows Daybook Unbound by Patrick McCrae, Collinsport Historical Society website, Ansel Farage's Todd Tarantula, which stars David Selby. So lots of Dark Shadows specific stuff, plus guests who have been on the podcast before are nominated: Amanda Desiree, Rod Labby, Donald F. Glute, Mark DeWidziak, Sam Irvin, Stephen Turek, or Diecast Movie Podcast. You can write in Classic Horrors Club Podcast. Lots of good stuff. And also, Penny Dreadful is nominated for Favorite Horror Host. I have not been super active as a horror hostess in a while. I mean, I do things here and there, but it is nice to be on the ballot. But yes, you can still vote in the Rondo Awards. The way to vote is to write into Taraco, T-A-R-A-C-O, at AOL.com, and you can vote in as many or in as few categories as you want. You can see the full ballot at RondoAward.com, and when you submit your email to Taraco at AOL.com, you want to just make sure that you sign the email, just put your name on it, just so that your vote is counted. And with that said, let's get to the show. Welcome to Terror at Collinwood. Tis I, Penny Dreadful, taking on the form of Danielle. And I am joined today by a very special guest, Vikram Mather. He's been a film critic for the American Bazaar and a published author for one of the chapters in the book Kamala Harris and the Rise of Indian Americans, where he wrote about Indian Americans in entertainment. He also co-hosted a podcast from 2019 to 2020 on South Asians called The Omi Show. Vikram is also an actor and played the character of rookie cop Lieutenant Abbas in a 2013 Bollywood TV crime detective pilot called Sherlock Sai. Welcome to the show, Vikram.
Thank you so much, Penny. It's really an honor to be here. And I have to say that your podcast really channels every Dark Shadows fan's dream, whether it's covering the storylines in depth or different aspects in detail. So it's a great honor and privilege for me to be on Terror at Collinwood and speak with you.
Oh, Vikram, that's very kind of you to say that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, I'm just having a good time. The reason I'm doing this podcast is because I love talking about Dark Shadows with other Dark Shadows fans. So it's great having you here. And you reached out to me. You were actually one of the early listeners who reached out to me when I launched the podcast in May of 2021, and you sent me a message in October of 2021 suggesting this really great topic about the cross-cultural appeal and cross-generational impact of Dark Shadows, and you presented this really great idea. And then, as I was telling you before we started recording, I mean, once the podcast got going, it just kind of picked up steam, and more and more people started coming onto it and telling other people, and then actors from the show were coming on, and I got overwhelmed by that a little bit. I mean, I was delighted about it, but your message was still there unread, because I was going to go get back to you and schedule something, and then you followed up with me and asked, like, hey, just following up, and I was like, oh my goodness, like, totally spaced on this. So I'm really glad you messaged me, Vikram, because I really like this idea. And thank you for your patience in waiting to do this. So it's better late than never. So we're going to have some fun today talking about these topics and Dark Shadows in general. So I look forward to it. So what was your introduction to Dark Shadows? That's, I always ask that, and my first question usually is like, how did you get, because you look like a pretty young guy here, like, so when did you discover Dark Shadows?
Sure. So I discovered Dark Shadows when I was about, I'd say, 7 or 8 years old. So this is 1995, 1996. We had just gotten a new TV, and we had just gotten cable, and I remember it was summertime. And I was sitting with my mother, and she was flipping through channels, and she stopped at the sci-fi channel. And I remember she was like, oh, Dark Shadows. And I was like, oh, what is Dark Shadows? And she told me that it's this spooky show that she used to watch when she was younger. And I remember the scene was the 1995 storyline when Barnabas and Julia, they meet a crazed Carolyn.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know the characters or understand what was going on. The only thing my mother mentioned to me was that the man was a vampire, and I was just expecting him to bare his fangs. He didn't do that in that particular time, but that stuck with me. And I think maybe a year or two later, summer vacation again, I saw that Dark Shadows was coming on, and it was the Ghost of Quentin and Chris Jennings storyline, and I was sucked in. I watched the whole thing. And that was really the beginning of me getting into it, because I always had an affinity for spooky things, horror things, you know, the 1930s classic Universal horror, Bela Lugosi. So here I saw a show which had all those elements and had this, what I would call, an ideal looking haunted house. I mean, Collinwood is as haunted of a house as you can get. So that sucked me in.
There's something that really pulls you into it, and just Collinwood itself, it is the, you know, the epitome of a haunted house, of a haunted mansion. You want to explore those rooms with David and Amy. And I remember watching that storyline and just being transfixed by that, because they find this secret, you know, walled off room, Quentin's room. And it's really captivating to this day. I mean, all that stuff just holds up so well. Before we talk about the cross-cultural appeal of Dark Shadows, I want to talk about the cross-generational impact of Dark Shadows. Because, you know, you mentioned watching it on the Sci-Fi channel, and I think Dark Shadows did find a lot of younger fans on when it was airing on the Sci-Fi channel, like, because when Dark Shadows went into syndication, it was kind of spotty. Like, it, you know, some parts of the country, if you were lucky, you were able to get it in syndication, but it was a big package, and these stations would have to run it every single day to sort of in order. So it was, I think it was daunting for some of these local stations, but, you know, it ran in syndication, continued to pick up fans for sure. But then the double punch of MPI putting out the tapes and them being available for like rental or to buy at Suncoast Video and things like that. And then you got the Sci-Fi Channel was the first series they picked up. The Sci-Fi Channel, science fiction show, was Dark Shadows. When I remember they announced that in Shadowgram, and that was really exciting. So you got all these new fans, these younger fans and original fans watching the show. So what is it about Dark Shadows that you think kind of continues to pick up fans even, you know, 55 plus years later, you're still getting new fans coming into the fold?
I think, you know, first and foremost, although it is horror, it's very accessible horror. You know, it's not too gory or too disturbing. I mean, of course, it has sad elements in it. It rarely is anyone truly happy on the show. There's always some conflict going on, but it's really a mixture of horror, a little bit of sci-fi, and I would even say a little bit of adventure, because eventually you have Barnabas and Julia and Professor Stokes and other characters teaming up to counter whatever supernatural entity is there. So it has these elements that blend together, but in a very enjoyable way, and not one that leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And the fact that it blends everything together, you know, it's not just a vampire show, it's not just a werewolf show or a ghost show. It brings everything together. I think for people that's amazing. And to do twist after twist, because it was a daily show, it really keeps you hooked. You know, nowadays things are very quick and bingeable, and Dark Shadows takes its time and really having you understand the characters and not just get caught up in the supernatural also. So it's a story, it's getting to know the characters and developing a relationship with them, so to speak. So that, I think, is what is its enduring appeal.
I agree with you. Dark Shadows is timeless, in that it never references, the Vietnam War, which was going on at that time, and other cultural events that were taking place, because it was a very tumultuous period of time in history, in the 60s, going into the 70s. And Dark Shadows never referenced any of that stuff. It existed. It was horror, but also I agree with there's a little sci-fi, a little fantasy, adventure, all of that in there. But it exists in this gothic other world, in its own spooky bubble, and it is creepy and eerie. But it's that terror that pulls you in. But it's also the character dynamics, these fascinating multifaceted characters. You never saw, an ongoing storyline with this much depth, with a vampire that becomes the protagonist of the series. This was super groundbreaking, and I think a lot of people nowadays take this kind of thing for granted. It's just, they do see a lot of things like this. But Dark Shadows was groundbreaking in that regard, and it does still have that magic for sure. If you're wired that way, if you like that kind of gothic quality and that ongoing story that combines all of these things, like the vampires and the ghosts and the time travel and all of these things, werewolves, witches, etc. And you just go on that journey. And you're right, you do live with those characters for, 5 years of story. And I remember when Patrick McCrae, who wrote the Dark Shadows Day book, was on here, and he was talking about, when he finished watching Dark Shadows, because he watched all of it in a compressed period of time, he like got worried about Barnabas. He's like, I hope Barnabas is okay. But it does kind of leave, because you're walking along the path with them for all that time. So it is certainly, it does that, and it still appeals to younger people. I've had the folks from the Dark Shadows Discord group, who are, Gen Z Dark Shadows fans, who are in their 20s, and they discovered Dark Shadows, and they're just as passionate about it as we are, or as the Run Home from School fans are. It transcends generations. I agree with you. Was it your mom that introduced you when you saw it? Your mom had watched it when she was a kid. What were her memories of it? Do you know?
So she watched it when she was a kid. She was born in the US and then moved to India for a few years, and then when she was 8 years old, came back to the US. And so it was probably around, I'd say, 1969, 1970 when she watched it. But so she was pretty young. She watched it because other people in the family watched it. And this is, you know, kind of where both the cross-generational and cross-cultural aspect comes in. So my grandmother used to watch it as well. And then my great-grandmother used to watch it as well. And so it was kind of a family thing. And I think they were, especially my great-grandmother, I think was kind of the bigger fan than, say, my grandmother or my mother. They were more, you know, my mother was more of a casual viewer, but it was my great-grandmother who really got into it. And it's amazing because she, you know, she came from India. She didn't speak English. And the fact that she was hooked on the show and watched it despite not really understanding what anyone was saying is just testament to not only how it cuts across generations, but also it cuts across cultures. We hear about the kids that ran home from school at 4 p.m. to watch it, but my great grandmother used to run to the couch and watch it. She would tell my grandmother, "Oh, it's 4 o'clock, turn it on, turn it on." That's what I heard. So I think that that's pretty amazing.
I love that. That's so cool. And so your grandmother came to the US from India, and did she watch other like daytime serials? Did she watch other soap operas, or was Dark Shadows it, or was it like one of the shows she watched, or was it her favorite? Like, what, do you know any of that?
So my great grandmother, she I think only watched Dark Shadows, but my grandmother and my mother actually watched All My Children, and they watched One Life to Live as well. And they watched those shows from the 60s till when they ended, about a decade ago. Like my mom was a loyal viewer of those shows, so th they were. They were into that. I don't know the history so much of how they got into those, but they were really loyal viewers of those daytime shows.
I hear so many echoes in what you're saying, and with regard to my family as well, because as I've mentioned on the podcast several times, my family came to the US from Portugal, from the Azores, the Azorean Islands, and they didn't speak English either. My grandmother, it was the same thing, multi-generational. My grandmother watched Dark Shadows with my mom and my aunt and my uncle Valdemar, who was the young kid. He's a little older than I am, which was, I'm glad he like got into all the pop culture, because he then passed that on to me. Even though my mom is a Dark Shadows fan, my grandmother was, but it's not kind of the same, where it's like kind of probably like you and maybe your mom, like kind of they liked Dark Shadows and they watched and they remember certain characters and stuff, but were like hardcore into it. Uncle Val was also at that time was hardcore into it. But my grandmother didn't speak any English, and she watched it all the time. She loved it. She was terrified of it though. She was really scared when Barnabas would show his fangs. She'd go, "What is she, a vampire?" And she would hide her face, and she was scared. But she and the werewolf too. With Chris Jennings, I remember watching it with her. And she'd ask, she said, "Oh, is he going to turn into a werewolf?" She was nervous he was going to turn into a werewolf, but she wanted to watch it. It's interesting. It's like this multi-generational thing happening, cross-generational thing happening, because they come over to the States and they get into this crazy show that's on TV. So what is it about Dark Shadows that you think has that cross-cultural appeal or cross-cultural impact? Because I've talked to other fans on the podcast too who had similar experiences. So what do you feel it is?
So I think in terms of my great grandmother, probably what I could gauge is the fact that, India is a land that's filled with all kinds of stories, and supernatural stories, legends are a really big part of that. So she came from the state of Rajasthan, which is kind of known as the desert state of India. And there's a lot of palaces, a lot of, kings and royalty that were based in that state. So, there was tons and tons of stories of haunted palaces and things like that. So I'm sure that she grew up with a lot of those things. But the thing is that in India, the visual media, especially in the 60s, it was limited to only films. There wasn't really a TV thing there. So, going to the movies was a treat, so to speak. And even then, horror or supernatural was, I think about in the 40s, 50s, Bollywood used to make those kinds of movies and then kind of lost steam. And then it became all about romance and those kind of things. So they weren't making those kinds of stories. So, she comes to the US and she sees the show that has ghosts in it, it has vampires. Vampires actually not really a legend that exists in India. So for
Oh,
her, it was
really?
probably like this really new, fascinating thing that she hasn't heard of. And India has a lot of crazy things, but this one was new. And so to see that visually, I'm sure to kind of have something manifest that may have been in her imagination. I think that's what appealed to her. And that might also be the case when you look at kind of the international appeal or cross-cultural appeal of it, is just that it brings things that might exist in other cultures, to a visual form, but it also brings things that, folks maybe haven't heard of, parallel time and things like that, and new things like I Ching wands. I mean, that's, I think, maybe a far east thing. I'm not too sure. But it's just kind of bringing your imagination of things that you grew up with to the fore. And she, from what I understand, my great grandmother had her fair share of seeing supernatural things
Really?
growing up.
Wow.
One particular incident that I was aware of was someone in the neighborhood. They had moved into a new house, and I believe someone had committed suicide there, and subsequently somebody got possessed there, and they had to come and have exercise and things like that. And this was, where she came from was a fairly small, intimate community, so to speak. So everyone knew what was going on. Everyone would see these things. And for us, if we were to see something supernatural, either we'd be scared or we'd be mildly fascinated, but still maybe look at things with trepidation. But in India, it's kind of like it was maybe fairly common
Wow.
to hear of things like this or see things like this. So maybe that interest stemmed from kind of personal experiences also.
Interesting. Wow. Again, I see parallels too with the Portuguese culture. And I had my friend Rick Rebello on here. We talked a bit about that, like the islands are enchanted and people have all kinds of experiences. But it was interesting because my family would tell stories like about paranormal things that they experienced and when they were on the island. But it was interesting because my grandfather is the one who actually experienced more things, but didn't. He wasn't into dark shadows. Like he would kind of just roll his eyes when we'd be watching Dark Shadows. I'd be sitting there with my grandmother and Uncle Valdemar and me and my younger cousin Karen, and we would all be watching Dark Shadows, and he would just kind of just shake his head and walk out of the room. But he saw, I remember him telling me one day he was walking on this wooded path. He was a barber, and he was walking to go to work, and it was dusk, and he saw all these people having like a picnic, but they were dressed in old-fashioned clothes, and there was no sound. Like they were all talking and running, or play kids were playing and stuff, but there was no volume. It was but and they were dressed in old-fashioned clothes, and then they were gone. So it was some kind of weird time slip or something. And he rarely talked about these things, but if I pressed him, he would tell me some interesting stories. So Portugal also has that kind of, belief and interest, or it's just something that exists that we take witches too, bruxaria, like a lot of witchcraft stuff. Is that a thing in India too, or some any prevalent kind of?
Yeah, witchcraft for sure. Witchcraft for sure is definitely a black magic. Black magic, there's a big belief in that. I've heard lots of stories of things like that that my grandparents had seen, things like so in India they have people that are so you have people that are spiritual men, and then you have people that are like spiritual men, but they actually are maybe like would be equivalent to like Satanists or devil worshippers or things like that. And they often promise that they can, resolve any problem that you have, right? You just have to do certain things. So I've heard stories about people going to them, and they say something, and then like a face manifests on the wall.
Oh,
Or
weird. Wow.
I've heard about family members, coming out. So in India they have really big houses also. I would say those houses are really, really scary because they're very open and they're gigantic. They're like maybe Collinwood on steroids. And so it's just like, anybody could kind of just walk in. That's the kind of feel they have. So, you know, I've heard of people walking out at night and they see like a woman sitting on like a terrace, and then they're like, hey, you know, get off. And then the woman grew in size, like, you know, became a giant, things like that. So yeah, witches is definitely a very common thing. Warlock type creatures, even werewolves. It's not exactly werewolf, but it's kind of like were tigers, so to
Oh,
speak.
yes, I
Because
have heard of
tigers
that.
are prevalent in India, so it's a similar concept. Moon comes out, and they turn into something like that. But I think the biggest thing is definitely ghosts and possession and witches. That's kind of what most of the legends are like.
On that note, are there any legends or creatures in the folklore of India, or the fiction, films, etc., that you think would have worked in Dark Shadows that would fit into that gothic setting and that gothic storyline of Dark Shadows that would dovetail nicely with that?
Yeah, actually, and it's funny because something like this actually could fit within the Leviathan storyline. Actually, so in the Leviathan storyline, you know, they talk about the, I think, the Naga symbol. And so Nag is actually a Hindi word for snake. So I believe that that comes from that type of thing. But in India, you know, there's a big belief in snakes in the sense that, you know, you never want to upset a snake. You know, if you upset a snake, they will come after you. But there's been legends where people where snakes can actually take a human form. I'm wondering if something like that could fit into like the Leviathan storyline, where the, you know, Jeb, and we don't know what the creature really looks like. Could be a giant snake, I don't know. But you know, something like that I think could fit in. And I think a lot of the ghost stories, kind of the most common ghost stories in India are around desolate mansions and, you know, women that were maybe wronged by their lovers, and their ghosts are still there. And it's usually a woman in white holding a single candle. That's usually the image that everyone talks about. And there's kind of a sad element to it, a haunting element to it. I feel like something like that could have worked in Dark Shadows, because there's lots of characters that have that kind of pain on the show. Those kinds of visuals and pining for love and that kind of thing, I think that could fit in. So
Definitely.
I
Oh,
feel like these two
just
elements would be interesting in that world.
you just nailed it too. But that's a big aspect of Dark Shadows, that pining for love and the lost love, and it's a yearning and a melancholy, bittersweet feeling that would fit perfectly with that. And when you mentioned, the Naga and the Leviathan, I absolutely think that they were implying that there was some serpent element to that creature, because that symbol was everywhere with the Leviathans. I don't think, I mean, probably looked more horrifying than that, but I had Rick Lay on the podcast, and he suggested that it looked like that. It had that multi-headed serpent look, but the serpents had human faces, which is disturbing. I could see something,
Possible.
maybe something combined with something more Lovecraftian in the mix there too, of course, since it was inspired by Lovecraft. But I love that. That's really cool. Is there anything else you want to say about the cross-cultural or cross-generational appeal of Dark Shadows before I touch on some favorite storylines and characters for you?
I think I would just probably reiterate that for generations, it's the ability to see a real story that lingers on, and see characters evolve, despite their supernatural things. It's rare nowadays. I mean, nowadays a lot of things are pretty sensational. Like if it's horror, the focus is just on the horror. It's not really about understanding the characters involved or the motivations involved. So that's a rare thing. And I think that if you look at generations now, which tend to be a little more emotional, they can probably appreciate that. So that's that aspect of it. And then, you know, culturally, of course, it's just there's nothing like, I mean, quite simply, there's nothing like Dark Shadows. There's nothing that blends everything together so beautifully. And the fact that it's, you know, it's watchable, it's fast moving, it's, you know, it just holds up really well, because of that. So I think that that's what I would say continues to be the cross-cultural and cross-generational appeal of it.
Great. What do you think the future holds for Dark Shadows? One thing I worry about, I was having a discussion with a friend of mine, and he made some good points too about a new Dark Shadows might not be, it might not be the best thing because everyone's like, yeah, new Dark Shadows, new sequel show. And he made some compelling points about potential. And I'm going to maybe go into that in another episode. But I'm still, I think a new Dark Shadows will only benefit the original Dark Shadows. That's my feeling. Even if it's not exactly what I want to see for Dark Shadows, maybe, I mean, maybe it would be. I would love to see something that's truly in the spirit of the original Dark Shadows. Regardless, I think it's going to bring attention to the original Dark Shadows, and we may get things like the Night of Dark Shadows restoration, new merchandise. I'd love to see more of that kind of thing, more attention paid to the original show. So, what are your feelings about all of that?
I did see your episode with Mark Perry. I'm very, very excited with the ideas that he has for the new Dark Shadow show. I
Yes.
really hope that it materializes because, and I think many guests on Tarot Con would have said this, that remaking the original stuff doesn't make sense now because it's been done a couple of times. I think especially if that show takes off and it's going to be true to the spirit of the original. I know that there was a certain film in 2012 that kind of botched that that thing. But I think that if it's presented in the way that it originally is meant to be, it can find a new fan base. As well as appeal to the others. I think you've also mentioned frequently about, it should be something like Star Trek: The Next Generation. And I think that that's totally true. And Mark Perry also, he has so many ideas that kind of bring it with both the original flavor, but also what, an audience now may connect with. He talked about having a lot of diversity. He talked about just taking the story forward. And I'm sure that, he can evolve it and touch upon it in a way where the gothic elements are there. But also, horror now is not only just horror, it also has some sort of underlying element to it. I'm sure there's a way to also bring it there, and connect it that way. So I think that that show, I would say, is the hope to keep the fandom going and keeping it alive, and then exposing new audiences to the original as well. And it's
Absolutely.
great that the show is available on so many streaming platforms, Amazon and Tubi and
Tubi.
all. And I'm a brand ambassador for Dark Shadows amongst my friends. I'm telling everyone all the time to watch it.
Awesome.
Actually, I'll tell you a funny story. So I think I was in fourth grade when I really became like a hardcore fan. So there was a couple of things that happened. One is, so sci-fi, I think, had taken off Dark Shadows for a little bit, and then they brought it back. So I was very excited. I remember there was a newspaper ad that they were going to release they're going to have a subscription. This is pre-Netflix and everything, subscription for the videos. So you would get one volume a month, I think like $5, and then you would eventually have the whole show. I really wanted it, but my parents were like, no, not that. So I convinced a friend who kind of was also supernatural, he had an interest in that. I said, why don't you get it and I'll just borrow the videos from you. He's like, okay, that sounds great. So that's what I did. But with my friends at school, when we'd go out on the playground, I'm like, let's play Dark Shadows.
Oh, I love
Need
that.
yeah. So needless to say, I always, since I was the original fan, I always volunteered to be Barnabas, of course.
Yeah. I
But
love this. I love it.
and then my I got into theater a little bit, and
Yeah.
my drama teachers, they knew I was a big fan of the show, so we did a skit called Things That Go Bump in the Night, based off of scary scenes from Shakespeare. And I was Macbeth in one of the scenes, and the teacher played it was the scene when Macbeth does the murder of the king. I don't remember the name, but
Duncan, yeah.
so they played the Dark Shadows theme in the scene because my teacher knew I was a fan.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
And yeah, so it really, from that day, it's been in my life in many different ways as well. Like I remember I went to a Warner Brothers studio tour in 2006. This is really funny. I was in like a prop room, and my, this really beautiful painting caught my eye. Nothing else, this painting. And I said, "What, what is this painting?" And the tour guide said, "Oh, this was a painting that was a portrait of Barnabas Collins in the 2004 pilot."
Oh,
And I
wow.
was like, "But of course, I would,
Yeah.
be attracted to that."
That's so cool.
So just all these different things over the years where it's just come up also.
Yeah. Now, does your wife, is she a Dark Shadows fan?
She is.
Yeah.
So
Oh,
when
cool.
we got married, I'm like, one of the first things I'm going to introduce you to is Dark Shadows. And
Yeah.
we started with the the unleashing of Barnabas, when Willie
Yeah.
finds Barnabas, and then we kind of paused it, but right now we're watching the 1897 storyline, which is my all-time favorite, and
Yeah.
she's like completely hooked.
Yes.
So
Great.
so I've made her a fan. And actually, on this collage that you see behind me,
Yes.
the comic strip book she got me as a gift.
Yes.
And you can't really see it. Maybe I'll
Yeah,
move a
the video
little,
version. Vikram
but
has
yeah,
several
there's
MPI
a, well,
DVDs there in
right
the.
behind me is the Wolf Moon Rising book,
Yeah.
which she also got me as a gift. So I have converted her.
Oh, awesome. And you have an 8-month-old Davy. So are
Davey,
you,
yeah.
yeah, are you planning to introduce him to Dark Shadows?
100%, 100%. I was actually, when I got this whole collection out, I was showing it to her, but
Oh, her.
she's gaining some understanding. So I think I picked up one, the one that's right next to the comic strip book that has
Yeah.
Barnabas as a an old man. I'm gonna try
Oh,
to move
yeah.
that one,
Oh,
and
yeah.
she notices that there's something a little off about it, so she just smacked it.
I love that. That's
but
great.
baby
Yeah.
steps.
Right. Yes. I want to circle back to a couple of things you said because I love that you played Dark Shadows with your friends. Because that was a big thing that a lot of kids in the 60s were doing in the early 70s too, when the show was on. If you I don't know if you read Running Home to Shadows. It's a collection of, memories of fans that watched the show originally, and a lot of them talked about playing Dark Shadows or Our Shadowed Past, the Bob Issels book. He's doing a volume two, actually, that's coming out. I have a piece in both books. The second one is actually about my grandmother who spoke no English and loved Dark Shadows. I wrote about her. But he has several articles in there that were written by fans who played Dark Shadows when they were kids, and they would play the different characters. And so there was one I was reading, and I think it was in Running Home to Shadows, where she was Josette. She would always be Josette and jump off the cliff, and so they would jump off things. She would jump off things to be Josette, which I love. That's great. And the other thing too that you mentioned with Mark, I have full confidence in Mark. Mark is, as you heard in the interview I did, Mark B. Perry. He is a big Dark Shadows fan. He's a true blue Dark Shadows fan. It's not Mark that I was worried about. And when I was talking to my friend, I did agree with a lot of what he said. In a lot of I guess the platforms potentially that it would be on might want to put their two cents in and push for different things that we may not like. That's what I meant. I wasn't seeing it about what Mark would do because I have full faith in him. For example, when he was with the CW, when he was going to do it on the CW, they wanted to turn the blue whale from a fisherman's tavern that was where everybody in town would just go hang out to like a retro hipster bar. And I was like, nah, the CW was like pushing for that. So he said he was glad to kind of DCW his pilot script when CW didn't end up doing it. And I was re actually relieved about that because I don't want them to mess it up. Like I want it to be Dark Shadows, not through the lens of the CW or whatever other platform it's on. So I can see where there would be stumbling blocks with that, but
Yeah, I mean, I
hope.
think I can foresee issues like that more so with mainstream networks.
Yeah.
Streaming, I feel, has given creators a lot more latitude to do what they want. If you look at a show like It's Castle Rock, I think it's called.
Okay, yep.
On Hulu, based off of Stephen King. I mean, it really, Stephen King's from Maine, or he lives in Maine, I think. And he has that certain kind of flavor in his works, and it's very true to it. So I feel like streaming platforms, because getting into kind of the business of it, they are based on subscribers, not so much on advertisements. So, there's a lot more creative freedom. And you can find like niche audiences for different shows on streaming. So they're more open to those visions. So I think that if it comes on a streaming platform, and most people are streaming things nowadays anyway, I don't foresee there being too many compromises, so to speak. I think it can be close to the vision that all of us fans want it to be.
Yeah. Okay, great. Is there a particular streaming platform that you would favor for that or?
No, I mean, I think no particular, whichever one, I would watch it no matter where it is.
Yeah, same.
I know
Yeah.
people say Shudder and things like that, which is fine. It's horror specific, but I don't
Kind of
think,
small.
well, yeah, but I also don't think a lot of the audience for Shudder is, so Shudder has some very intense horror things. I
True,
think Dark
true.
Shadows is a little bit more light than
Yeah,
that. They might
I.
like it there, but I think like it could be on a broader platform than horror
Yeah.
specific, I think.
Like Hulu, maybe, or something like
Like
that.
Hulu, yeah.
Yeah,
Hulu. Hulu, I think, would be a good one.
I
But
agree. Yeah.
ultimately, whoever lets it be what it should be.
Yes, totally agree. So what are some of your favorite characters and storylines from Dark Shadows? And you mentioned the 2004 pilot that didn't get picked up but can be seen on YouTube. And it was Alec Newman, Barnabas. And then we have the 91 series as well. We have the two movies, the 2012 movie too. What's your thoughts on, I guess,
All of them.
favorites from the original and then other thoughts on subsequent iterations?
So when we talk about the original, I mean, that's untouchable. I love everything about it, but if I were to pick one character that I really like, I would actually say Quentin.
Oh, the Quentin,
As a
original
kid, although I
recipe,
played as
Quentin.
Barnabas, I would say Quentin, because Quentin to me, I felt was actually an even more interesting character than Barnabas. And the reason is because Barnabas always was a bit of a romantic. He was soft-hearted. He was, as a vampire, you still really felt for him, but he was always a bit soft. So, when he had the dilemma, you're like, I see it, I see it. But Quentin, he was not a nice guy when he started out. You don't really feel any sympathy for him. You're like, this guy's a womanizer. He's, stealing the will, and he's manipulating people, and all this kind of stuff. Yet, as the story develops, and when he gets the werewolf curse, which, even at that point, you're like, okay, this guy kind of deserves this because he left, spoiler, he left Jenny and the kids and all that, But then, for some odd reason, which I still don't quite understand, you feel bad for him too later on, because he changes. He becomes softer. He does feel the pain that he has caused, and that, I think there's a line where I don't remember if one of the babies dies or something like that, but he says something about, oh, it's another Quentin Collins, and I think transformation happens to the baby, or I don't remember exactly, but you see his pain that his child is going through something, or is very sick or something.
Yes, yeah, that's
And
right.
so I just found that his character was more fascinating, because you hate him and then you feel bad for him. Whereas Barnabas, he always was kind of likable and a gentleman and stuff like that. Quentin was not. So I would say he was my he's my favorite character. At the other things, the 1991 show I liked. I just felt it was a remake, though, of House of Dark Shadows and stuff from the original. So that's the only detraction. But I think the production values, the cast was really good. And boy, I mean, they had that great cliffhanger on the 12th episode. I mean,
yeah,
it would have been great to see where they go, you know, where they went with that and whether they would bring Quentin and what would that pan out like.
There were
I'm sure they
plans
would.
to bring Quentin, and it was going to be Adrian Paul who played Jeremiah.
Okay.
Yes, he was. He had said, and he revealed at a Dark Shadows festival that they were bringing him back as Quentin. Which, man, what a bummer that that didn't happen. That would have been so cool. Yeah.
So I liked the 1991 series. I just didn't, you know, it was a remake, so that was the only thing. 2004 pilot, I was not really a fan of. It felt very different. It didn't have the kind of Dark Shadows feel to it. And they made some character choices, which I can understand why they did what they did. But, you know, when you have these loyal fans, it doesn't work. You have to find a way to cater to new people and the originals. And this was just trying to get a new base. So the actors were fine. I just wasn't too sure of the way that the thing was put together, the characters. The Dark Shadows 2012 movie, I was super excited. I said, okay, Tim Burton, Johnny Depp, okay, this could work. Sleepy Hollow, if it's like that.
Yeah.
Of course, it turned out to be a comedy. If I view it as a comedy, it's fine. But then my mind, of course, always goes back to the fact that this is Dark Shadows. I always had this dream that if they made a real Dark Shadows movie, I think Johnny Depp was a great choice for Barnabas. I felt like if they were to have a Quentin, it should be Hugh Jackman.
Oh,
I don't know why.
Okay. I could see that. Yeah.
You know, maybe it's like the Wolverine. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that.
But I thought Hugh Jackman could be a good Quentin. But I mean, that's not going to happen. But So I think after the original, maybe only the 1991 show I really like. I love the two 70s movies, Night of Dark Shadows and House of Dark Shadows. Night of Dark Shadows, you know, I know it was edited and changed up a lot, but there's still something about it which makes me want to watch it over and over again. I don't know what it is. But yeah, that's kind of my views on all these iterations.
Yeah, that's great. What about like licensed media, like the Ross novels, the Gold Key comics? You have the newspaper strip book you were just talking about. Do you like any of that stuff?
You know, I haven't read, you know, besides Wolf Moon Rising, I haven't really read, like, you know, say the Marilyn Ross books or things like that. I'd love to. I just need to find some time to do it because there is
a lot. There are a lot of them.
Right. And I also haven't heard the audio productions either, which I would love to. I'd be interested to know where they took the story. And, you know, actually, there's a...
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Catherine Lee Scott reading the Ross novels. You're talking about the Big Finish audios. I see what you're saying.
Sorry.
Yeah, some it's the mix bag. There are some I really like, and some I'm like, what is going on here? So it's a mixed bag. Like, I think the more recent ones, I'm not as gung-ho about. Like, earlier on, I felt like they were trying to go for more of that spooky gothic atmosphere. But the more recent ones are, there were like kid characters in it, like brought in like young characters, and I found them a little grating. But you know, that's my opinion. But some of the ideas that they have are really cool, and some of them are pretty spooky and interesting. It depends. Like there are a lot of different writers, and some of them are more knowledgeable about the Dark Shadows than others. Sometimes the vibe is like off, but so is it. Even all of these different iterations of these licensed versions have their own vibe. Like the Ross novels, very different from the series. Like the first five are pre-Barnabas, so those feel, and you can tell he was using like Art Wallace's Bible, show Bible, because there are a lot of elements that come from those pre-Barnabas episodes, and I kind of dig those. But then once Barnabas comes in and he starts adding all of these family members, it gets a little, the vibe is different. It's unique. It's fun. I mean, you can kind of get into it, but it's its own very distinct feel, and the characterizations are, I would say, a bit different. Particularly Barnabas feels different to me than he does in the show. But they're fun, and I'm going to do an episode. People keep asking me, when are you going to do an episode on the Ross novels and the Gold Key comics? It's coming, folks,
Great.
soon.
Yeah, and I did actually return to Colin Wood is the only audio
Oh
that
yeah.
I've heard, and I actually loved it. I well, of course, the fact that a lot of the original actors are there, that's wonderful. But they even used the musical cues,
Yes.
which was great. It's just a fun thing. I think it's just great for the nostalgia and for learning about the possibility of things that could have happened post the way the show ended. And I think there's also in one of the DVDs there's like a 10-minute video where they explain what happened to the characters. Have
Oh,
you seen
that's
that?
this from the Sam Hall article that was published in TV Guide after the show, because people were demanding like what happens next, So Sam Hall wrote this article for TV Guide, and of course Sam Hall was one of the key writers in Dark Shadows, but Dan Curtis was not involved in that, and neither was Gordon Russell or Violet Wells or any of the other, or Joel Caldwell. But Sam Hall wrote the article, so, and I think this was like what Sam would like to have seen happen in the show, but it's, some, I don't necessarily consider that canon, but it is an interesting, I see it as a what if kind of a possibility, like Return to Collinwood. I see that as a what if too. And he wrote that, and then they had it on the end of the DVD, one of the last
Right.
DVD. Yeah, they had the rundown there, because he had ideas in there that it's like, I wasn't sure if they would do. There was some like world traveling stuff, which I don't know if they would have done that in Dark Shadows. And Adam comes back, and some of the actors who had left the show were back in. And I'm like, I don't know if that would have happened, but hey, you never know. It could have happened.
There's one anecdote actually I did want to share, which I think
Sure.
a lot of listeners may find as maybe sweet or something. But Dark Shadows was what really got me into acting. Jonathan Frid and David Selby were my idols, and I was like, this is something I really enjoy. I wasn't athletic, and I needed to do something, and acting turned out to be the thing. So I remember maybe I was in 6th or 7th grade, and I found David Selby's website.
Okay.
And at that time, I think he had an email address listed. And I'm like, I'm going to write David Selby an email and ask him for advice on acting because I was a fan. So I wrote him an email and he responded. I still have that email saved in a drawer
That's
somewhere.
so
But
cool.
I didn't write in there how old I was. I must have been maybe 13, 14 years old. But so he's like, oh, you didn't give me your age. But I guess he could sense maybe the way that I wrote it that I was really young. So he's like, you didn't give me your age, but you should continue to do theater and see if that's, if you enjoy it. And if you enjoy it and that's something you really want, then continue to pursue it. So I printed that email out and I've saved it because it was really inspiring and it was thrilling to get a response from Mr. Selby. So that's another fond memory.
Yeah. Oh, what a great story. Thank you for sharing that. And it speaks to the kind of person David Selby is. He is such a nice person, and how cool that he took the time to write
Right.
to a young fan and give advice on acting. That's so cool. Yeah, I would never part with that. That's a keeper, that email. I'm glad you printed it out and saved
Yeah.
it. You called out the music from Dark Shadows and being used in Return to Collinwood, which I agree was the right choice. If there's a new Dark Shadows, I would love new orchestrations of some of the classic themes from the show, including, of course, the opening title, which I was shocked they didn't do in the Burton movie. Like, you didn't do a version
Oh,
of
yeah.
Danny Elfman. They did one little, they pulled something from Colbert, from Robert Colbert, in the very opening, that thing.
Yeah.
But that's all they did. But I
Yeah.
would love to see some of the key music cues reorchestrated in a new series. That would be really cool, and it just would feel like Dark Shadows. Now, they didn't really, I don't think they did that in Star Trek: The Next Generation, and during the show that was something they didn't do. But for Dark Shadows, I feel like you kind of have to have some of those, even if it's not all of them. I think they have to have some of those themes in the mix.
I agree. And my all-time favorite Dark Shadows composition is Joanna's theme.
Oh, I love that one.
Oh,
Yes. Love it. That doesn't get enough credit.
It's, yeah, I feel it's very underrated. I guess maybe because it came at a time in the show where the show was nearing the end. But I think, in the movie Night of Dark Shadows, that's actually where I first heard it. I was like, this is beautiful. I mean, my father, he loves it. He's like, oh, play that Dark Shadows music. And then, my wife has heard it. It's one of the most beautiful musical interludes ever. I hope they bring that back. It's
Yeah,
lovely.
sometimes if I'm driving to work and it's like November and it's drizzly and the whip leaves are blowing, like here in New England, when the leaves are blowing everywhere, I put that on in my car and I'm driving. It just feels like it captures that mood perfectly. It really
Exactly.
does. But yeah, awesome. Very good call there with Joanna. You don't hear people call that one out too often, and it should get more attention than it does. It's
I
Robert
agree.
Colbert was brilliant. I mean, and just the various styles and themes that he worked into the show were incredible. And just even like people talk about, oh, Dark Shadows, when it started, was more or less a standard soap opera. It wasn't. It was always very
Not at all.
unique. I mean, with that music, orchestral music, you had these sets by Sy Tomashoff that were incredible, beautifully
The best.
detailed sets. I mean, just immersive kind of environments. And you have Joan Bennett, a movie star, this majestic movie star, in the series. It immediately was something different. It was unique from the start, even before the overt supernatural stuff came in. It was something special right away. So I hope that vibe, if anything new comes out, is retained for it. It
Yeah.
needs that all of that needs to be in the mix there.
Well, if Dark Shadows Reincarnation is a continuation of the original, it would be really cool if they recreated those sets to show the interior of Collinwood. I really, it's funny because I've seen pictures of what Sea View Terrace is actually like on the
Yeah,
inside,
it's
and I
amazing.
wish it was like the show.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There are elements you can tell Sy Tomashoff pulled certain elements from the actual Sea View Terrace in and used them in the set design, like the paneled walls, the wood
Right.
paneling. He used some of those things in the show, some of the stained glass stuff. I mean, he worked some of it into the set design, but you walk in, it looks different. It's certainly, but it's really impressive when you walk into Sea View Terrace and it's like, wow. And it's just the fact that you're in Collinwood is kind of surreal.
Right.
And people watching Dark Shadows inside Collinwood is even more surreal. The most surreal experience I had inside Sea View Terrace is I'm standing in the foyer area and they have a room, they call it the Dark Shadows room, or the 60s room, the Angel room, they have different names for it. But in that room, there's a TV playing Dark Shadows constantly, and I was standing there, and in the distance, I hear Roger Collins' voice like talking on the TV. But Elizabeth, really? It's
It's
like,
like you can
oh,
almost see that's going
yeah,
on in
it's
that
so
room.
weird. It's so it's so it was surreal. But yeah, that would I hope so you're right. If they were to do that, and that's what Mark said, that he would push to have like a recreation of the interior of what Collinwood from the TV show, but probably maybe bigger. I don't know, but I
Yeah.
hope it looks like that, like immediately recognizable as Collinwood or the old house or any of those locations. Like, yep, that's right. That's what it looks like. I
Right.
agree.
I don't know if you saw this news story, but there is a guy who is a big fan of the show, and he's built a house that looks like Collinwood, and I think inside he's even copied some of the set style. I was like,
Totally.
that is cool.
That's in
That's a
Pennsylvania.
dream.
Yes, that's in Pennsylvania. If you're
Yeah.
listening to the show, I would love to come visit and do an episode with you at your house. He's like, can you imagine like having the ability to create your own Collinwood to live in? He has,
Right.
it looks like, yeah, he did like things on the inside of
Right.
the house to make it look like it. Do you know if Dark Shadows got any airings like in syndication in India at all? Because I know it aired in like South America and several other places, Central America, South America, but I don't know if it made it out to India at all.
So I don't know if it aired in India, but I do know that It did reach India in some form because my aunt, who was born there, who grew up there, she told me that as a kid, she had a book. I think it may have been one of the Marilyn Ross books called Barnabas Collins or The Story of
Okay.
Barnabas Collins. So that was available in India.
Yeah.
So at least in that form, it was there. I don't know if the show actually aired there or not, though.
Okay. That
Yeah.
happened in the UK as well. Like a lot of the Marilyn Ross novels, the paperback library novels, were distributed in the UK. It was like overflow stock or what he from here, from the US, made it over to the UK. So bookshops could. Younger people in the UK during that time, in the, like in the 70s, where that's how they experienced Dark Shadows, a lot of them that found those. So I'm sure there are probably a group of fans, probably in the UK, that grew up with the Ross novels as their Dark Shadows. And then, of course, when the Sci-Fi Channel came, then it developed a fan base for the show there
Right.
as well. But yeah, that's interesting. That's the Ross novels made their way to India too. That's really cool. Awesome. Well, Vikram. It's been an absolute pleasure getting to talk with you. I'm so glad we finally got
Absolutely.
to do this. I'm so happy that we were able to get together. It was a pleasure hearing from you. And you're a writer. And are you doing any writing right now?
No, it's just thing a lot of the things have been a little bit on pause, just been busy with the baby
Yeah.
and all. But one of the things I would like to do is write some short stories, some horror stories maybe,
Yeah.
because that's what I love, and I'd love to stretch my imagination in that
Yeah.
space. But as to when I can sit down and do that, I'm not sure. Hopefully,
Yeah.
hopefully soon.
Well, you have your hands full with an 8-month-old.
Yeah,
So
yeah,
that's, I don't
yeah,
blame.
yeah.
But some when the dust settles and you got a little more time, that would be
Yeah.
very great.
Yeah.
You
But
know.
this really for me, this is an honor for me to be on Tara at Collinwood. Again, I think
Oh.
this is such a wonderful celebration of Dark Shadows. It really encapsulates everything a fan would want. And you're an amazing host as well. I
Thank
don't
you.
think there could have been anyone better to do this.
Oh.
So this is really exciting and great, and I, look forward to future episodes and continuing to see everything Dark Shadows channeled here. So it's
Oh.
really an honor and privilege for me to speak with you on this.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you so much, Vikram. I really appreciate that. And I love having fun on the Dark Shadows. It should be fun, you know, and talking about it and having a good time celebrating it. And I'm honored to have done so with you. So thank you for joining me, and hopefully we can do it again sometime.
Sounds great.
I don't plan on stopping the podcast anytime soon. So as long as
Please
things
don't.
keep.
Please don't. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Well, okay, thank you. And folks, if you like the podcast, please do rate it. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating. That does help the podcast to reach more Dark Shadows fans. If you know someone that loves Dark Shadows and loves hearing discussions about Dark Shadows, this is like a radio show or a TV show or whatever kind of show that's just specifically about Dark Shadows, but also related topics that are in the Dark Shadows orbit. Let your friends know about it. Give us a rating. Like the podcast on, if you're watching the YouTube version, there's a video version of most of these episodes. Subscribe, please, to the YouTube channel. But most importantly, above everything else, tell your friends if you know somebody that loves Dark Shadows or that might enjoy the podcast. I've had some fans that have said, well, I've been there, done that. I've heard it all. No, you haven't, because you have not heard from Vikram before about Dark Shadows, and now you have. So please tell your friends, because you've different perspectives from different fans are what it's all about. So thank you again, Vikram. I appreciate
Thank you.
it. Hey, just real quick, I want to let you know that I will be doing an appearance as Penny Dreadful at Monsta Expo on April 27th and 28th, 2024, at the Seaport Resort at 110 Middle Street, Fairhaven, Massachusetts. So come on down to Monsta Expo. Come by my table. If you listen to the podcast, let me know. I'll give you a Terror at Collinwood sticker. Other guests include Eugene Clark, Bill Moseley, and Camille Keaton. So come on by Monsta Expo at the Seaport Resort, April 27th and 28th. It's going to be a hexcellent time. And for as long as they lived, the Dark Shadows never truly vanished, for there will always be Terror at Collinwood. Terror at Collinwood
is a Penny Dreadful production.